Hello, my name is Chuck Porritt. Welcome to my secondary journal and to this page titled The Abrahamic Covenant. This page is the first of four links in a prophetic chain that explain an important Old Testament prophecy known as the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. These four links are the Abrahamic Covenant, Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, Jesus' Olivet Discourse, a prophetic message that he gave to his disciples as they sat together on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city of Jerusalem and the temple, just 2 days before his crucifixion. And then finally, John's little book, tucked inside of the larger book of Revelation and found in Revelation chapters 10 through 13. So why is Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy so important? Because in it, God gave the world two timetables for both the first and second comings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The first timetable was a 69-week timetable leading up to his first coming to die for the sins of mankind. And then there remained a final 70th week to be fulfilled, leading up to his second coming to bless the nation of Israel and to reestablish the kingdom of David in Jerusalem. Each of the weeks in the first timetable were periods of 7 regular years. The Bible measures time in terms of weeks. A week of minutes is 7 minutes, a week of days is 7 days, and a week of years is 7 years. And so a total of 69 weeks of years adds up to 483 years. And the Lord Jesus fulfilled that timetable to the very day on Palm Sunday, when he entered the city of Jerusalem just 4 days before his crucifixion. But as we look at this entire prophetic chain from Abraham all the way through to John's little book, we discover that the 70th week is not like the first 69 weeks in the first timetable. It is not a week of 7 regular years. Rather, it is the great week of the Abrahamic covenant, a week that began roughly 4,000 years ago with God's promises to Abraham, a week divided in the very middle by the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple by the armies of Rome in 70 AD, and a week that will soon be completed at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule the world forever. And so, returning to the original subject of this video, I need to answer 2 questions. Number 1, who was Abraham? And number 2, why is Abraham important? We encounter Abraham in the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 12. He lived roughly 4,000 years ago, around 1900 BC, in a city called Ur, in a part of the world that is now known as Iraq. And God told Abraham to leave his homeland and to go to a different land that God would show him, a land that in Abraham's day was known as Canaan and today is known as Israel. And when Abraham arrived in Canaan, God began to speak to him about a single person who would come into the world through Abraham and his family, whom God referred to as Abraham's seed or offspring. And God told Abraham that his seed would fulfill 2 promises. Number 1, that he would bring blessing upon all the nations of the world by making it possible for repentant sinners to find forgiveness and reconciliation with our Creator, God. In other words, that Abraham's seed would be the long-awaited and promised Savior of mankind. And then secondly, that Abraham's seed would someday possess the land of Canaan and share it with Abraham forever. And so Abraham's seed would be both a Savior and a landowner. And these promises that God gave to Abraham first began to be fulfilled 1900 years later with the birth of Abraham's promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, into Abraham's family. Now, these 2 promises that God gave to Abraham have come to be known as the Abrahamic covenant. And God gave Abraham a commandment to go along with that covenant. Every male in Abraham's family was to be circumcised as a sign in their bodies that it would be through them, biologically, that the promised seed of Abraham would someday be born. Now Abraham initially had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And God told Abraham that it would be through Isaac that the promised seed would someday be born. And then Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And God told Isaac that it would be through Jacob that the promised seed would someday come. And then God gave Jacob a new name, the name Israel. Now Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in the land of Canaan for roughly 200 years, but they never took possession of that land. They were strangers in that land. And in fact, because of a severe famine, Jacob had to move the entire family down to Egypt, where they lived for another 200 years. And so roughly 400 years after Abraham came to Canaan, God raised up a man from within Abraham's family, a man named Moses, to lead them out of the bondage of Egypt and back to the land that had been first promised to their forefathers. Now we find the story of Moses' first encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3, in the story of the burning bush. God spoke to Moses from within that bush, and he told him that he wanted him to go to Egypt and to lead the family of Abraham out of their bondage, and that he, God, would help him to accomplish that task. In response, Moses asked God a question. He said, "When I go to the children of Israel and they ask me what your name is, what shall I tell them?" And God said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." In other words, that I am the true, living, and eternal God. Now, from these words, "I am," are derived the name of God in the Old Testament that some people pronounce Yahweh and other people pronounce Jehovah. God said that this will be my name forever. And then God added something else. He said to Moses, "Moreover, tell the children of Israel that the God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent you. This will be my memorial unto all generations." So what did God mean when he said that being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be his memorial unto all generations? We find the answer to that question in the final book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, where we see a new planet Earth that will replace this present planet that we all live on, and a new capital city of Jerusalem coming down to be placed upon that planet. That city will be square in shape, and in each of its four walls there will be three gates, a total of 12 gates named after the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, or if you will, the 12 great-grandsons of Abraham. In addition, that city will have 12 foundations named after the 12 Jewish apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the Bible beginning in Genesis chapter 12 and going all the way through to the end of Revelation, we find that over 99% of its text is focused upon the two promises that God made to Abraham and God's fulfillment of those two promises. And the book of Revelation tells us that the Abrahamic covenant will be memorialized forever by blessed people from all the nations of this world who will enter into a new land in the world to come, where they will walk and have face-to-face fellowship with the Creator of the universe himself. Now, it's important to understand that that Abraham and the Jewish people are not important because they are better than anybody else in the human race. The importance of the Abrahamic covenant is that it explains how the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, could become an everyday human being and make a way of salvation possible for such evil and wicked men, rebels against God, as Abraham and the members of his family. They are just like every other member of the human race and just as desperately in need of God's mercy. Now, someone might ask, well, what about the covenant that God made with Moses and the people of Israel at Mount Sinai when he gave them the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle, laws to govern their nation, and a system of sacrifices to be used in their relationship with God? And what about the covenant that God made with David when he promised David that someday somebody, a son of his, would establish David's throne forever? What we need to understand is that both the Mosaic and the Davidic covenants are sub-covenants of the Abrahamic covenant because they explain the Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant explains how Abraham's seed would be able to bring blessing on all the nations of the world. He would be God's true Passover lamb, who would take away the sins of the world, and at the same time, through our faith and regeneration and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, enable us to obey the Ten Commandments from our hearts. And the Davidic covenant is also an explanation of how Abraham's seed would someday be able to possess the land of Canaan forever. He would be a great king from David's family who would not only rule over Israel, but would rule over the entire world. And so we will see, as we look at Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, at Jesus' Olivet Discourse, and John's little book, that these two promises of a Savior and the possession of land will be front and center in each of these passages. And we will come to understand that the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9 is indeed the great week of the Abrahamic covenant, and that we are now living very late in the second half of that great week.